Gerald Celente back for his 2017 trends forecasts, and he has at least 10 of them. Welcome back, Gerald Celente.
Well, thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year. And my New Year vow is a new year of joy and beauty.
That positive attitude carries us a long way. And I want to share some recent quotes on Gerald Celente's work. New York Post says, if Nostradamus were alive today, he'd had a tough time keeping up with Gerald Celente. CNN News, headline news, says, when CNN wants to know the top trends, we just ask Gerald Celente. We've got lots of trends. One of them at the top is, okay, referendums in Italy, referendums all throughout Europe, and of course, the Trumpsit, if you will. Give us an idea of what you think about populism. Certainly seems good in the short term, but we've also had trouble with nationalism in the past. What do you think?
It's bigger than nationalism. It's bigger than populism. It's disgust for the existing systems in countries around the world that have been run by small groups of political parties and ruling elites, while the rich are getting richer and everyone else is getting poorer. And that's not just rhetoric. It's a fact. When you look into the United States, for example, since 2009, 95% of the wealth has gone to the 1%. That's a fact. Of the working people with full-time jobs, 51% of them are earning $30,000 or less. It's a fact when you go throughout Europe, particularly Italy, Spain, Greece, high youth unemployment rates in the 30-40%. So it's a disgust of the systems and the people that are destroying it. So they throw these words on like populism and nationalism. You know, so you mean you want to, how dare you, being a German, that you want to maintain your German, Italian, Spanish identity? How dare you not want to be whitewashed into a European Union of globalization? How dare you don't accept multinationals taking over sovereign rights? How dare you want to keep your culture and heritage? How dare you refuse to open your country up to immigrants when your country can't take care of their own already? So people that oppose those things are denounced by the people that want to continue those things. So what they do is they put cheap, ignorant labels on them to disguise and cover up a much bigger issue.
Next on the list, economic disorder. According to our officials, policymakers, hey, what a good year 2016. I mean, you know, we're under 5% unemployment. Everything's great. We all have great jobs. Wait a minute. When you look behind the numbers, almost 100 million Americans have either given up looking for work, have accepted part-time work, are struggling to make ends meet, or are simply underemployed significantly. That sounds like a recipe for disaster. All these people who could be working, about 100 million.
The word you just said, the system. And that's one with our top trend, of course, is one of them is make it new. And again, we're political atheists. We call things for the way they are, not the way we want them to be. And with Trump is, it's making it new. He didn't only defeat Clinton, he defeated Obama. No president ever campaigned as much as Obama, sitting president, for a party candidate. He lost the House big time, and they lost the Senate. And they lost state legislatures throughout the country, the Democrats. He also beat Hollywood. All those $100,000 plate dinners, they lost. Silicon Valley lost. They were all supporting Clinton big time, as we found out by WikiLeaks. They lost. The hottest algorithms, all of the everything that they lost. Mainstream media lost. So the system lost. People want it new. Going back to the system and going back to economics, it's a new system. It's not a political system anymore. It's a business system. Politicians don't know what to do. I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate at 23 years old. Yeah, you ran political campaigns in Westchester County. They've been around these people. They're politicians. They're in it for their own head, their own ego. They have egos in it. So now you have a business guy in there bringing in business people with Trump. So you look at already the changes that have happened on the positive, emotional counts, psychological counts. Whether Ford says, no, we're going to make the cars here rather than in Mexico. Or whether Carrier says, no, we're not going to send all those jobs to Mexico. We're going to keep a lot of them here. But whether you bring in guys like Wilbur Ross, Mnuchin, and Tillerson, these are tough business guys. Renegotiate tariffs and trade deals. Yeah, I want these guys to do it, if they're going to do it on behalf of we the people. So we're seeing that, yes, the economy's not as strong as it should be, but the probabilities for a better economy, we've done a 180 since Trump has come in. And so now when the disorder is, you have a strong dollar. Look at the money flows out of China with the yuan now at 8-year lows against the dollar, losing 8% in just a year. Look at what's going on in all these emerging markets that borrowed tens of trillions of dollars. They borrowed it in dollars, have to pay it back in dollars. The dollar's getting stronger. Their currencies are getting weaker. That's where your economic disorder is. So while the United States may do better, a lot of countries are going to do a lot worse. And that's why we still say that, no, we don't see gold going in the trajectory that we had it before. But we still say it's the ultimate safe haven asset, considering the economic disorder ahead.
There's just so many forces that could have knocked it down, and it continues to tread water. You know, you bring up some really interesting topics with the Trends Journal. You talk about technological advances. You know, sometimes I think people are overwhelmed by technology. I mean, especially as we mature, it's difficult to keep up with it. It's our nieces and nephews, right, who seem to have a handle on technology. There are some trends going on here, some themes that are persisting that are just simply astonishing, and I think they really have real-world application in certain parts of the country, wiping out tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of middle class and working class jobs that was just a barrier against unemployment. Well, maybe not for much longer.
Virtual reality education is one of the big ones. That to us is, all the ones you mentioned are 100% true. But the big one that we see is virtual reality education, VR-ED. The education system was built for the industrial age. It's a German model. He had people read, write, do some arithmetic, and mostly follow orders. And that's what it is, a general education. We're forced to learn a lot of things we don't need to learn, we'll never use, and it's just a system to keep them telling you what to think and how to think. And you mentioned about how young people are already so, you know, digitally coded, and, you know, when they're little babies, they're playing with this stuff. So now put them in a virtual education classroom. Now you have them geared toward what is this person most qualified and most have the most talents in, and what are the hidden talents that this person may excel in, and what are the weak points that they should never even bother doing. And you find that out, and then you put them in the virtual classroom. But unlike having teachers that go to state colleges or wherever and get a degree, you know, so they could teach us from textbooks, now you have the best teachers in the world teaching your child or teaching you as an adult. Whether if you're a doctor and you're doing virtual surgeries, but you're learning from the best of the best. So from the top to the bottom. So what we're saying is that when you're looking at virtual reality, and they're putting it now mostly in games, and you could take a trip to wherever you want around the world, it's much bigger than that. And that to us is going to be one of the biggest changes, the biggest profit opportunities on the horizon. Now also think of this, Chris. Think about how you won't have to pay all those lousy school taxes that you're paying to give these kids degrees and educations in worthlessness because of all the brick-and-mortar buildings. Just like people are doing online shopping, you have now online learning, but going to a much higher level with a virtual classroom. You are there. It's totally different.
What we're seeing is more of a amalgamation, if you will, of the brick and mortar and the online. I mean, even top schools. I was recently down at Clemson. They're about 20-30% virtual. So I think even the top schools, public schools at least, they recognize that this is no longer a trend we can ignore or laugh at. We've got to hustle to get on board. So on to another one. No more cash. Title it Trends Research. You know, I mean, look, we're looking at cryptocurrencies, blockchains popping up. We even have our own silly blockchain here at Goldseek, a silver coin-backed blockchain based on Ethereum. This genie is not going back in the bottle. And of course, that's not all you're talking about when you say no cash. I mean, look at India. We've got Prime Minister Modi, right? We're going to go pure digital. Then we move on down to Venezuela. They're writing it behind the scenes into legislature around the world. Why do they hate cash, and what does it mean for us?
The reason they hate cash is because when you pay cash, they can't get their share of it. They want to steal every nickel, dime, and penny that you have. So if you go cashless, everything you spend, everywhere you go, everything that you've done, they know where it is, what it is, and how much they're going to get from it. Period, paragraph. That's the only reason they're doing it. All this baloney about terrorism and drug dealing, you know, save it for the six-year-olds. I don't want to hear it anymore. You know, they'll be able to do it in one way or another if you want to do it. So that's the only reason they're doing it. So now we'll go back. Let's go to India. So they turn in, you have to turn in the rupees. What do they have? They're worth between what? What I think it was like $7 and $15. That's their highest currency. Show you how poor the country is. Now, what would you rather do? You have to turn in all your rupees, or would you rather be holding gold? Go back to Venezuela. Take a look at Argentina, one after another. Look what's happened to the Argentinian peso with that 40% inflation rate. What would you rather be holding, that or gold? So what happens is when they have these radical shifts going on and you don't know they're going to happen, you mentioned what Modi did. He did it overnight in India. They didn't tell anybody. They weren't even prepared for it to happen. They didn't have the replacement currencies even printed. They did it. It shocked everybody. So the shock comes, and that's what you do. You prepare for the unprepared. You prepare for the worst. If the worst doesn't happen, you didn't lose anything. If the worst happened and you didn't prepare for it, you lose everything. And that's what happened in India. So if you lived in India and you were holding gold, and Modi comes out and says, we're calling in all those rupees, 86% of all the currency, he says, so what? Doesn't affect me.
The thought of even owning a gold coin is virtually an impossibility. But wow, could they own silver? So, you know, I love your idea of gold, and I think it makes the case for silver even stronger.
Oh, it does. No, I just mentioned gold, but both of them, any precious metal. So that's the opportunity. And that's what you do. You prepare for the worst. If the worst doesn't happen, you've lost nothing. If the worst happens and you didn't prepare, you lose everything. It's a very simple formula. You can see it happening. It's how many more examples do people need? So if there's going to be any kind of crisis, all of a sudden they lock down, whichever way they do it, you know my Gerald Salenti's GC's 3 G's, guns, gold, and a getaway plan. You know, it's as simple as that.
It is simple as that. It's great because, unfortunately, so many folks, I think, are missing the opportunity simply because we've been, as you say, crammed into the system from an early age. We've been force-fed pablum, and you just can't get the truth, plunged into a system where your mind is just simply, I don't know, melted by propaganda. I want to get to this last big topic. This is something we don't generally talk about on Gold Seeker. It's a little bit off topic. And if you had the courage to talk about marijuana, we look at the pros, we look at the cons. We think the pros, if you're an adult and the brain is fully mature, this is a remarkable medicine. Easy to grow, it's inexpensive, and in many places of the world, it should be legalized. Where the problem seems to come in is when young folks get a hold of it, it can do quite serious damage to a growing mind. But it has amazing medical benefits. Give us an idea of why you think this is going to be such a big economic opportunity.
Well, you know, you hit on a lot of points, and you talk about young people not using it. Look how the pharmaceutical industry is screwing up young people with all these drugs they're giving little kids to keep them in order. You know, I grew up when I did. You know, I was born in the Bronx. I ran away from PS 76 in the Bronx and crossed the Boston Post Road, which was the major artery in those days between New York and Boston, at 4.5 years old when I ran away from kindergarten. If I did that today, they would have me shot up on drugs. You want to talk about doing some, you know, grass? Should they? No, of course not. Let's look at the reality, Chris, of how the pharmaceutical industry and the mainstream medical industry is screwing up all these young kids with all the drugs that they're putting on and making up stuff like attention deficit disorder. Planet could feed us with food. They could heal us with the herbs. Could they get that in their head? Or I got some clown from 1930s saying it should be, that we should criminalize it, and it's been criminalized all that time. Well, now it goes back to the bottom line. Just like the reason they legalized gambling, because they could make profits from it, from the states, you got to be in it to win it, the same thing they're doing now with marijuana. You got more tax revenues in Colorado coming from pot than they got from booze last year. It's the bottom line. And then you said the medical. The United States is doing the least of the major nations in doing research on medical benefits.
Because it's Schedule 1. You're exactly right. With that scheduling, Schedule 1, the laboratories cannot touch it. Go ahead.
Israel's on the cutting edge of this. These people you hated in high school and college that wanted to be class president and head of the student council, men and women, telling us what to do. So that's the other point. Will the new administration allow this to happen? And we believe, yes, it will, because you hear Trump talking more and more about states' rights, and that's what this is about. And the federal government should mind their own business. The federal government should only be there to protect us from invaders and foreign nations and to make sure people don't rob all our money as they keep robbing it from us. Medical marijuana is beyond medical marijuana. You're going to start seeing this. These are stocks that are going to continue to rise. But look what they just did in Massachusetts. The people passed the law, and now these low-life little politicians, a couple of days before the session closed, reversed the law, and now they're postponing it for 6 months.
First of all, I live in a state where this is not a legal substance. My wife and I are actually allergic to smoke, so we don't really have, you might say, any skin in the game. But I do want to share this amazing little document I keep right on my desktop because they put alcohol against marijuana. So let's look at alcohol. Addictive, depressant, causes cancer, millions of deaths per year, costs the police and the NHA huge amounts, death through overdose, and destroys brain cells. But that's legal. Now let's look at marijuana. Not addictive, antidepressant, cures cancer, zero deaths for the most part, saves police billions, no overdose potential, and increases and enhances brain activity. But it's illegal because you can grow it.
These are the same people that take us to war, you know, over lies. You know, so it's this whole political system. I've had enough of it. And the one thing I'm happy about that what Trump has done, he's brought a business person in rather than a politician. Politicians, again, they're only in office to serve their egos, not to serve we the people. And they got this thing that they tell us what to do. Who put them in charge? So that's why. But we're going back to this. It's 28 states. That's a great outline that you did, and I'd love for you to send that to me as well on the benefits of marijuana. 28 states now making it legal for medical or recreational use. This trend is just beginning, and it's going to continue to, quote, grow like weeds.
Absolutely. I'm going to forward it to your assistant. Okay, why don't you tell people a little bit more about this must-read publication, the Trends Journal?
Well, I can tell you that the top trends that we've put out for 2017, they're nothing like it. And they're profit opportunities like we've never seen before. And anybody that wants to get a hold of them, they could go to our website, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. Besides the Trends Journal, we put out a Trends Monthly. We put out a Trend Alert each week, and we do Trends in the News broadcasts each weekday night. It's the only place where you're going to read, get, and hear history before it happens.
Absolutely. Gerald Celente, we always appreciate it. Have the best 2017.
You too, and a great 2017 of joy and beauty.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garnero, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.